Good morning. Today is Monday, July the 20th, the 205th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, the Mac Dude, John Dalby. Hey, guy.
Hey, good morning. It's always good to see you.
You know, it's really good.
You're rather dapper in your smart little thin tie there.
I think this is an Arthur Johnson.
Is it? That's an old one.
You know that thing? Well, you know, it's not like I really follow fashion.
Really?
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's come around yet, or if it's 180 degrees out. But yeah, I have a tie on today.
Very nice.
Hey, nice tie.
Hey, thanks.
All right. the Bank Dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby, is alongside us. Before we get into our discussion this morning, our quote, sir.
Oh, this is from Zsa Zsa Gabor. Are you ready for this?
You know, if you chose it, I'm kind of feeling a little uncomfortable already,
yeah.
But let's
go. Well, it's from your book of quotes here. A man in love is incomplete until he is married. Then he is finished.
Well, you know, and she did ample market research on
yeah,
that.
I'm yeah, I'm sure she did.
Oh, boy. I saw something. I think it was in like a Consumer Reports or one of those types of magazines that we get that was talking about the chip in the credit cards or in debit cards.
Yes.
That are coming around the corner. What's that whole thing about? Because I think there's a general healthy fear of Big Brother that most of us have. Now, they're talking about embedding some kind of a something or another there, and we've got it in the driver's license, and we've got it in, what is this one designed to do? Because it looks like it's an industry move. It's not just an individual vendor.
Well, actually, Europe is ahead of us. In fact, I wasn't prepared for this topic, but...
we're just talking.
there's an acronym for the chip, and it has to do with Europe. So it's something that started over there. Right now, your credit card has a mag strip. A magnetic strip on the back, and it has some numbers encoded on it, and that's what, when you swipe your card, it reads that. The chip has more encryption to it, and so there's some safety in it, some additional. You know, it's not like they can track you by the chip as you walk around, but it does add some additional safety to it. Or security, I guess, is really more than safety. So it's something that we're going to be migrating towards, but it's going to take some time. A lot of the vendors that in the U.S. don't even have the ability to provide that. And
so obviously they're not working with the international community.
Well, the problem is, one, we're a huge market. We're bigger than they are. So in order to use these cards, every one of those swipe terminals that you use when you go buy something, those all have to be swapped out and technology changed. So there's a huge infrastructure. It's not just changing the card. You have to change the reader also. And so as, there's incentives out there for merchants to start using swipe terminals that read both the card, the mag strip, and the chip, because you have both. And it does cause some challenges for people that are now traveling abroad, because it's there are places in Europe that only accept cards with the chip, and the American cards don't all have them.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, so these credit cards with this chip embedded in it, is it a fraud prevention process or consumer safety step, or is it something else?
Well, it's an encryption that, and I wish I could tell you exactly how it works, but it does, it gives you much more security than a regular mag stripe does. And so, but it doesn't really protect, you know, the data loss, you know, like when Target gets invaded and they get your numbers and so forth, you still have, you know, that exposure. So there are some advantages to it, but it certainly doesn't make your records absolutely secure.
The whole concept of either information safety, cyber safety, technology safety, whatever that overarching, I guess it would be, that's a big word. There's a hyphen in there.
Right.
Overarching thing. Are we more cognizant about protecting information, or because now it's been 10, 12 years since it's been pretty commonplace, do we just kind of go, and not be as diligent about personal information as we ought to be?
Quite the opposite. We're actually more diligent now than we've ever been. The FDIC, the Department of Business Oversight, which is the...
Okay, let me step back. We being the American community, not we being the banking community
in
America.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say that we're probably more attuned to cybersecurity than we've ever have been, and we have to be. The hackers are getting more and more sophisticated, and they're moving so quickly, and they're going after right now, you know, the low hanging fruit, which is, you know, the big pots of credit card data, and then they can sell those and so forth. But there'll be a time
where the federal government,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is. You know, if you're not concerned about it, you should be.
Yeah. Is that just paying attention to our own little individual situations? You know, we used to, now I know this is dating us, carbon, and we would get the carbon imprint copy, and we wanted to have that thing shredded at least into 100,000 if you were really doing a good job,
right.
A million pieces, and then turn it back to the merchant.
Yeah.
And then they said to you, would you like us to take care of it for you? And it kind of continued to evolve. I don't see many people being at that level of paying attention.
Well, I can remember going to college, and yeah, believe it or not, I still remember that. It was a long time ago. And your student ID number was your Social Security number, and you were rattling it off all the time. It was on your test scores. It was everywhere.
Whoa.
We would never do that today.
I hope not.
you know, now if anybody asks for your Social Security number, you know, we're guarded. You're going, whoa, hold here.
Why would I give it to you?
Right. Yeah. You know, and, you know, so a lot of them will be what's your last four digits, but they won't ask for the whole thing because you won't give it to them.
Yeah.
So I think as a society, we're very, very attuned to, you know, worrying about our credit card information and our driver's license numbers and our Social Security numbers because we don't want to, you know, be a victim of identity theft.
Is the merchant community as concerned about our protection?
Yes, they are. And in fact, sometimes we get irritated when their fraud protection jumps in. For instance, if you've ever been traveling and all of a sudden your card doesn't work, so you call your credit card company, oh, are you actually, you know, traveling?
In Spain?
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And so, you know, now we tell a lot of our clients that, you know, hey, if you're going to be traveling, let us know, so that we can put that into the fraud protection equation, so that, you know, you don't.
Oh, so you guys can input that information?
Yeah, you can contact your credit card holder and say, look, I'm going to be doing something I normally don't do. I'll be traveling in Madrid, And I just want you to know that, so that, you know, you don't turn my card off when I arrive. Because generally in credit card fraud, when somebody steals your number, they're making charges somewhere other than where you live. And so they're looking at your pattern and practice, and whenever you violate your pattern and practice of using your credit card, it gets turned off.
Do mom and pops pay as much attention to that kind of stuff? Or is there even any vulnerability that they need to be concerned with? I mean, you go to Bob's grocery store, and you either use your debit card or use a credit card.
You've got reputational risk. There are hackers that will hack into a system and steal the credit card, the numbers that you're capturing on your machine. That happened to a local merchant here, and we tracked it back because we had a lot of our clients saying, you know, hey, somebody got my credit card number, I didn't make this charge, et cetera, et cetera. So we looked at, you know, each of those clients, and we found they all had the same merchant that they went to. And then we went to that merchant and said, you know, hey, something's going on here. And, of course, they weren't aware of it. But, indeed, somebody had hacked into their system and was capturing everything that they were capturing.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, the concept of information security, where do the weak points tend to be? Is it me losing my wallet or me, let's say, getting a credit card application and not realizing I have it because somebody nailed it out of the mailbox, and now they're getting stuff that I don't know anything about? You know, the old-fashioned kinds of fraud, or is it something a little bit different now?
Well, there, you know, the onesie-twosies would be the individual trying to steal somebody's identity, and that does happen. The biggest one is where they go in and they get massive amounts of data. I mentioned Target before, but, you know, there's been a number of merchants that have had millions of customers' data stolen. And the vulnerability of that generally is through people. And the technical term for it is social engineering, and it's one of the things that we test at the bank and we actually do a lot of training on. Let me walk you kind of through one way to get into a bank or a store or a company or anything to get their data. Is they'll send you a phishing email, and it might be you receiving an email from somebody inside your own company. So you get an email from Angie, and it might have your logo on it or something. And if you really looked at that email, you could tell it wasn't from you. Are from inside your company.
But the email address would appear.
it would all look
to be accurate.
They try and make it as look as legitimate as possible. But if there's any hyperlinks, if you put your cursor on it, it'll show you where it's going. And it'll show you that it's not going to your company. It's going to somewhere else. And what happens is, if they can get you to click on that, you've now opened a packet, it comes into your computer, and they can either take over your computer. They can read your keystrokes. There's a number of different things. And so now they'll sit and patiently watch what you're doing.
So this is an attachment, or this is just a reply to an email?
It's some attachment that somebody sends you. You open it. Once you, it can be an Adobe document. It can be a hyperlink. It can be a number of things. And so you really need to know who you're dealing with when you open anything. You know, so you should be very suspicious anytime somebody sends you a hyperlink or a document, and be very cautious about opening that. That's where your malware software and all of that comes in. And
so you weren't in Russia last week and ran out of money and were in jail and needed some assistance?
There you go. So what happens is, you know, like if you have Outlook in your systems, they can actually get in. They'll find an administrator, and they'll start working through the network and try and become an administrator for your network. And then they can actually do a lot of stuff inside the company. So it just a matter of one employee, you know, hitting that hyperlink that then can corrupt the whole system over time. And sometimes they sit in there, watch your systems, you know, for months and months before they actually find a way to monetize. You know, they can get into your system, but how do they monetize it?
So are small businesses, the little guy, not Targets, not Home Depots, not the big boys, but go back, Bob's Grocery Store, do they really care about Bob's because it's so small?
If you're a hacker in Russia or Eastern Europe or where you know, China, you're probably going to go after the bigger ones because there's a bigger payday. But the time will come where they'll you know, once the big boys figure out how to lock them out or make it so difficult, they'll start going after the smaller ones.
Well, was it Dillinger? Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
And so, you know, it's one thing to be able to hack into your system and get information or to see what you're doing. It's another thing to monetize it. So why bother getting into, you know, the radio stations website or your network, excuse me, you know, if I don't have a way to turn that information into cash. And right now the easy money is getting credit card data from large merchants.
So are credit card files paid attention to? Is that from John the bank consultant perspective? Is that the thing that we should be making as difficult for anybody to get any access to, if you have a customer database that has anything in there that would have more than just like a mailing address?
Yes, we should be securing all of that data. You know, that is precisely the information that they'll be going after. Again, you know, I'm using poor Target, beating them up today, but everybody knows about that breach. And, you know, again, that was done really from the inside out, as opposed to, you know, they had all the technology to protect the information. But if you can get inside and use a person on the inside, then that's when you can get in.
So are you speculating that's what happened with the federal government?
You know, that one I don't know. I don't know what happened, but
are
I
all
think
the credit, our Social Security numbers.
From what I was told, is their technology was antiquated, and they were warned, and still didn't do anything. And so,
there's so many parallels we could talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, so what should we do as individuals if we have a concern about, well, just security issues?
Number one is reconcile your checking account and your credit cards on a regular basis. You have access or can get access to that information online, and it's a good idea to review that just to see if, you know, first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a charge from some foreign country when they've got your data. So, you know, that way you can stop the bleeding very quickly. Two is educate yourself on what to look for in phishing emails. And if you get an email from somebody you don't know, don't open anything. Just delete that thing. Get rid of it. Keep your cybersecurity software up to date. But the biggest one is being very, very careful about what you click on when you get incoming emails.
Do we have to worry about somebody looking over our shoulder at the ATM machine, that kind of stuff anymore? Because I know that was, or, you know, when you're tapping in whatever your code is on the car, those types of things that were discussed earlier?
We're seeing less of that sort of thing. Most of your ATM, you know, keypads, you have to put them in, you are partially covered.
Yeah, so you got the little rubber thing that makes it tough for you to see where the numbers are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of them are wide open, and, you know, I get a little nervous when I tap on those. But they have to capture two pieces of information. In order to use it, they have to capture what's on your ATM card, and they have to capture the PIN number. And to do that, you need some technology, and then you need to be able to look over your shoulder and see what numbers you're putting in. It's highly unlikely. It's very expensive at this point to do.
We had heard stories early on that a lot of times staff at different restaurants, was one that stuck in my mind, would have something underneath their sleeves and could track when they swipe the card. Does that kind of fraud still exist?
It can still happen, but it's not the big one that you have to worry about.
Fair enough. What is it? What is the big one? Just somebody getting your credit card number?
Sure.
or your Social Security number?
Yeah, usually from a merchant that you purchase something at.
What about people filing on credit card or developing credit cards in your name that you have no knowledge of? Credit reports?
Well, you can use some of these, you know, LifeLock, and there's a number of different companies that provide, you know, these credit services to notify you if somebody's taking credit out in your name.
But they're not an official sponsor of this show, so
that's
correct. Say it specifically.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.